Okay, thank you. Today is Daf Mem Tes, the last blot in Perek Nigmar Adin. Again, we were discussing a dispute amongst the Tanaim about Haruge Malchus, those who are killed by a king for violating the respect for the king. What happens to their property? Is their property taken by the king as well? Or is their property inherited by their children? That was a dispute of the Tanaim. And there was an attempt to bring a proof from the story of Yoav, where Yoav, during the time of Shlomo, runs into the Beis HaMikdash, runs into the Mishkan, holds on to the corners of the Mizbeach. And the Gemara explains that Yoav said to Benayahu, Shlomo's student and head of the Sanhedrin, that it's not fair that you're going to do both, that you're going to kill me, plus you're going to, I have all these curses against me from David. If you kill me, you're going to have those curses. So Shlomo said, fine. And that's what happened, that Shlomo's descendants had these curses. We have descendants of Shlomo who didn't have food, descendants of Shlomo who were sickly on their feet, descendants of Shlomo who were killed. So that's what the Gemara ended yesterday. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda's the name of Rav. Now we're in the last line of Mem Chesem and Beis. Hanadam Yinshi, that's what people say. Tehei Luta, better to be the person cursed. Velo Tehei Lata, better than to be the person doing the cursing. Because here David HaMelech leveled the curses. He was doing the cursing. And many of those curses came back eventually to bite the members of his own family.
Rabbi, was the reason that he wasn't supposed to get both is that the killing was supposed to atone for him and he needed the curse also? Is that the idea?
Yeah. You don't need to. Exactly. Thank you. All right. Asu Eli Yoav. So what happened? They brought Yoav out of the temple. They took him off of the altar. And Dinei, they judged him. Shlomo HaMelech judged him. So what was Shlomo HaMelech's accusation against Yoav? Amar Lei, Shlomo said to Yoav, my time uktalte le'avner. Why did you kill Avner? So just to review a little bit of our history, Avner ben Ner was the general of Shaul HaMelech. He was a very heroic general. And as we know, Shaul and David ended up in a very bad situation. Shaul wanted to kill David. David went into exile, into the desert. And there were several interactions between David and Shaul. Once where David took water from Shaul. Another time where David took off the corner of Shaul's garment when Shaul was sleeping. And each time, really, David did this to show that he could have harmed Shaul, but he had nothing against Shaul. But Shaul's people did not convince Shaul of that, and they gave other explanations. Oh, you know, the garment tore, and he happened to find it. Not that he came in and he took off a corner. And eventually, as we know, Shaul goes out to fight war with the Plishtim. Shaul commits suicide when he sees he's going to lose. And Avner supports Shaul's son, who was king for a period after the death of Shaul, until eventually Avner turns on Shaul's son. He sends a message to David. He says, I'm going to become loyal to you. And David is very happy. David says, come to Hebron. I accept your loyalty. And Yoav is so upset about all the battles that they've had with Avner, and especially the fact that Avner had killed his brother, that Yoav, fools Avner into showing weakness, and then he kills him right in Hebron, and Avner is in fact buried right outside of Maras HaMachpelah. There is the grave of Avner ben Ner. So, what was the what did Shlomo tell Yoav? He said to him like this, my time k'talte la'Avner. Why did you kill Avner? That was wrong. It was an act of murder. And therefore, I'm going to kill you. Amar Lei, so Yoav responded, what do you mean? Goel Adam da Asael Avai. I was supposed to kill Avner, because Avner had killed my brother Asael. In one of the episodes between Shaul's army and David's army, the David and Shaul agree that instead of actually fighting, there would be a duel between the leaders, a duel between Avner and Asael, and Avner kills Asael. So because he killed my brother Asael, I kill him. I had to kill him. So Shlomo said back, but the killing of Asael was not an act of murder. Rodev Hava was a duel, and Asael therefore was a pursuer. He was pursuing Avner. So Avner was right to kill him. If somebody's coming to kill me, I can kill him. And then we can't say that the relative of the person who was coming to kill me can come kill me. That's not fair. Amar Lei, so Yoav said back, no. Asael was not really a Rodev, because Hayalo Latzilo Be'echad Me'evarav. Avner could have stop the redifa. When somebody is pursuing me, it's not that because he's pursuing me, he's now guilty and he deserves to die. If he's pursuing me, I can save myself even at the expense of his life. But if I can save myself without taking his life, I should do that. So therefore, Shlomo said back to Yoav, no, Avner was, I'm sorry, Yoav said back to Shlomo. Shlomo said that Avner had not been wrong in killing Asael, because Asael was trying to kill Avner. So Yoav said back, no, Avner could have just stopped the redifa. He could have stopped the pursuit. He could have maimed Asael. There was no need for him to kill Asael. The fact that he killed Asael, when he could have extricated himself by merely wounding, makes him into a murderer, and I'm therefore allowed to kill him. Amar Lei, so Shlomo said back, how do you assume that Avner could have maimed Asael? Lo Yachile, he didn't have the ability to do that. They were in the middle of a struggle. Amar Lei, so he said, what do you mean he didn't have the ability? Hashta b'dofen chamishas kivin lei. He was such a great swordsman. He was able to precisely thread the sword in between the different ribs and get it into the fifth rib. So d'chsiv, as it says, v'yakneu Avner b'acharei achanis el hachomesh. Avner hit him with his sword, with his spear, the rear of his spear, to the fifth. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'dofen chamishas. He hit him at the fifth rib. Makom shamara v'kavei tluyim bo, at the spot where you have both the liver and the spleen. So if you had that level of precision, be'echad me'evarav lo yachol, you don't think Avner could have, you know, knocked a spear or an arrow into a kneecap or some limb to stop the pursuit? He could have. So the fact that he didn't stop the pursuit makes Avner into a murderer, and therefore I'm entitled to kill him. So Amar Lei, so Shlomo said, you're right, Yoav, Nazel Avner. Let's put aside the issue of not Avner. If you think that you couldn't have stopped him, you think that he couldn't have stopped, you think he could have stopped Amasa. I'm sorry, he could have stopped Asael in another way, and he didn't, and then he killed Asael. So you're right as the relative of Asael to come back after him. But my time of Ktalte La Amasa, why did you kill another general of Shaul, Amasa, who also chose to join David's armies? Amalei, so Yoav said, I killed Amasa because Amasa was a morid b'malchus havam. Amasa wasn't listening to the orders of King David. He had joined David, but then he didn't listen to the orders. What was the order? David had said, Vayomer Melech La'Amasa, King David said to Amasa, Has Ekli Es Ish Yehuda, gather for me all the men of Yehuda, all the fighters, Shloshes Yamim, in 3 days. Vayelech Amasa La'Azik Es Yehuda, Amasa went around to try to gather the fighters of Yehuda, Vayuchar, and it was more than 3 days till he came back to David. So Shlomo said back, but Amasa wasn't wrong. Amar Lei, you couldn't kill Amasa because he didn't fulfill the order. Amasa realized that sometimes when a king gives an order, you can't listen to it because there are other countervailing and very important values. Amasa achin v'rakin darash. Amasa knew how to interpret, you know, wherever the Torah says but or only, that there are carve-outs, that sometimes there's an order, but yet you're not supposed to listen to the order fully. There's something carved out of the order. What happened? Ashkechinu to Patiach Lubim Masechta. He found that the soldiers that he was supposed to gather together were busy learning Torah. They were in the Masechta. So Amar, so he said, Ksiv, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, Kalisha Shayam Rez Picha Valish Mas Tvarecha, L'chol Asher Tetzaveni Yumas. On the one hand, it says about a king, anyone who violates your word and doesn't fulfill what your command, that you command him, is to be put to death. So on the one hand here, I'm not going to fulfill the command. I'm not getting the soldiers. But, because they're busy learning, I don't want to disturb them from their learning. But you know what? Here, that's the reason why I'm not fulfilling the command. Yachla afilu ledivrei Torah. Is it true that even for words of Torah, a person is going to be put to death if he doesn't gather the soldiers because the soldiers are learning Torah? Tamaloma, that's what the Pasuk says that Hashem told Yoshua, Rak chazak, only be strong, ve'amatz, and courageous. That there are exclusions of when you have to listen to the king. So, he was right. So the Gemara says, Ella, so the truth really is though, we don't really understand why Yoav should be killed. In terms of the fact that Yoav killed Avner, Yoav felt he was a Goel Adam, he was a relative who was supposed to kill this man who killed his relative. In terms of the fact that Yoav killed Amasa, yeah, Amasa didn't listen to David, and Yoav thought you have to listen to David. So it's true, Amasa had a pasuk that, you know, based on leaving people to sit and learn, he didn't listen. But Yoav didn't have that pasuk. He didn't interpret it that way. So from Yoav's point of view, Amasa was a Moreid B'malchus, and Amasa was deserving of death. So why is Yoav killed? So the answer is because Yoav himself was a Moreid B'malchus. Elahu Gavra Moreid B'malchus Hava. Yoav himself was rebelling against the king. Dechsiv, as the verse says, that at the end of David's life, his son Adoniyahu made himself king. And the verse says, Vashmu abad Yoav, and the news of it came to Yoav, ki Yoav nata acharei Adoniyah v'acharei Avshalom lo nata. That Yoav became a loyalist of Adoniyah, even though he had not become a loyalist of Avshalom. In fact, he was the leader of the general of David, he was the leading general of David's army when David fought his son Avshalom. So my lo nata, what does it mean he didn't stray to Avshalom? And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda explains, Shebikesh lintos, he wanted to follow Avshalom. But he didn't. So the fact that he wanted to follow Avshalom and go against David meant that he was a rebel against David, and that's why he was deserving of being killed eventually. Baruch, you had a question?
Yeah, Amasa, who was Amasa, Rabbi?
Amasa was also a general of Shaul that left Shaul's group, and he wanted to join David. And David gave him a task. He said, get for me 3,000 people. We're going to go out to a war. And bring them in 3 days. He didn't bring them in the 3 days. They came a little bit late because they were busy learning, as we just saw. And it was a situation where there was a rebel fighting against David within the Jewish nation by the name of Sheva ben Bichri. And David wanted Amasa to lead the battle against Sheva ben Bichri, but he didn't show up on time. So then Yoav went over to Amasa, you know, to seemingly kiss him because they had been successful against Sheva ben Bichri, and instead he killed him.
Oh.
Rabbi.
So, Yoav and Avner, they were brothers.
No.
I mean, no.
Yoav killed Avner for having killed his brother, Asael. Yoav was a brother of Asael.
Asael. Uh-huh. And where did the Shlomo HaMelech come here? It's not you were talking about Solomon here.
Right, because he's the son of David. And David told Shlomo...
Solomon is the son of who?
David.
I know, but he was a baby at the time.
No,
right?
But when he became king, David gave him an order, make sure that Yoav dies, because of what Yoav did to Amasa and to Avner.
Okay.
Yeah, question.
Yeah, it sounds from here that the powers of the king are unlimited.
Correct.
That the king says anything that the punishment for not doing what the king says is death.
That's correct.
Okay, so what type of procedural setups are there to protect people? In the case of a Sanhedrin putting someone to death, in the instance of there's a whole two witnesses.
Hashem.
Witnesses have to give. Is there any?
Can't remove a king. No.
Not removing a king. Is what type of procedural protections are there in place when the king decides that he wants to kill someone? Do you have to have two witnesses? Do you have none of that?
The king is in charge.
So the king can do whatever he wants without having witnesses?
I guess there are witnesses if somebody rebelled against the king.
No, but if he has hearsay. No, I heard he rebelled against the
no,
king.
No, so that no, them. No, he can't kill them. No, he has to have witnesses that he...
David HaMelech, he could do anything he wants.
Umay taima lo nata. So one second, why didn't Yoav actually follow Avshalom if he wanted to? And that's why he was ultimately killed, because he had sympathies with Avshalom. Amr Belezer, Belezer says, at the time, Adayan Lichluchis Shel David Kayamas, David was still a very mighty warrior, still quite powerful. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, Amr Adayan Itztagnini Shel David Kayamin. At the time, David still had his posse, he still had his group of tough guys. So Amr Rav Yudah said the name of Rav, Abra Meos Yuladim Hayulah David. David had these 400 teenagers. They weren't actually his children, they were children of others, but they were Bnei Yefos Toar Hayu. They were actually a little bit not Jewish. They were children of captured brides. We know that when the Jews go to war, if a soldier can't control himself, he can take a non-Jewish woman, a Gentile woman, as a captured bride, have one act of intercourse with her, and then wait a while. So out of those captured brides, right, there were these 400 boys. They used to grow their hair in the Gentile way, which many explain means they would cut off the front and they would grow a lot of hair in the back. So I guess with ponytails, etc. So they looked like Gayim. They looked like these tough guys. And they used to walk in front of the groups. These were the muscle men of David. These were the punchers of David. So David had this group of 400 tough guys that were there to fight for him. So Yoav wasn't, even though he wanted to leave David and rebel, he was scared of them, so he didn't. Okay, says the Gemara, now this idea that David used to fight with all these tough guys is against Dupliga de Rababa Bar Kahana. It's against the idea of Rababa Bar Kahana. Rababa Bar Kahana felt that David didn't fight with tough guys, but rather Yoav fought for David, and Yoav was successful through the merit of David's learning. If not for David sitting and learning Torah, Yoav would never have succeeded in war. And if not for Yoav's efforts to fight in war, David wouldn't have been able to be sitting and learning Torah. Yoav was the practical warrior, and David was the merit of Torah. And that's how they were successful, not because of 400 tough guys. The Ksiv, as it says, he David, and it was that David was Osem Mishpat Utztaka L'chalamo. He was carrying out justice and charity for his nation. Yoav ben Tzruya Latzava. Yoav, the son of Tzruya, was in charge of the army. So Matam David Osem Mishpat Utztaka L'chalamo. Why is David able to sit and to judge and to learn Torah? Mishum Yoav Alatzava, because Yoav is out there on the front lines fighting the war. In the army. Matam Yoav Alatzava. Why is Yoav in the army? Because David is doing charity and justice, and the merit of David's learning, Yoav is successful. The verse says, "Vayetze Yoav me'im David," that Yoav went out from being with David in Hebron, and he sent messengers to go get Avner. Vayashivu oso, and they brought him back mibor hasira. And then, as the Gemara will explain, Yoav asks Avner to show how would a woman who doesn't have arms do chalitza. So Avner said she would do it with her teeth. So he bent over to show she would, you know, use her teeth to pull a shoe off of the Yavam's foot. And then Yoav took advantage of Avner bent over to kill Avner. So when it says there that he called him back from Bor HaSira, my Bor HaSira, what does it mean? What is there a place called Bor HaSira? They're in Hebron. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana explained that Bor V'Sira Garmu Lo LaAvner SheYihare. God is saying that the reason why Avner died was because of water and because of a thorn. When David was running from Shaul, there were two episodes. One episode where David took the water. There was a bowl of water over Shaul's head. He took away the bowl of water because he had snuck in when Shaul was sleeping. And the other episode was where he took off the corner of Shaul's cloak. Now, both times, David wanted to show, I could have harmed you. I came really close, but I didn't. I took away your water. I took away your cloak because I don't have anything against you. You see, I had the ability to kill you, but I don't want to kill you. That David's intention was to create peace, and the people around Shaul could have done that. But they didn't do that. So instead what they said was, oh, you know, maybe there is a traitor in our midst who gave your water pitcher to David. And not that David really wants to show you peace. Or the garment, maybe there was a thorn that you got caught on and the thorns pulled the corner of the garment and David happened to find it. But not that David came in here into the cave and cut off the corner of the cloak. So that's what caused Avner to be killed. Had Avner advocated for David and said to Shaul, look, David came in here. David could have harmed you. He clearly has nothing against you. Let's make peace. There could have been peace. And the fact that Avner didn't try to make peace and instead continued to reinforce Shaul's bad instincts of continuing in the war, that's why Avner ultimately deserved to die. What happened? How did Avner die? Vayateu Yoav el toch hashar. And Yoav directed Avner into the gate, Ledaber Ito Besheli, to speak to him about mine. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what does that mean? Shedano Dino Sanhedrin. He judged him like a Sanhedrin judges. He brought him into the gate. The gate is the Ziknei Iro, El Shar Mekamo. They sit in the gate. Amaleisa, he said, Yoav said to Avner, my time akhtalte la asail. So he judged him as if it was a court case. He said, why'd you kill my brother Asael? So Avner said back, Asael rode fire. Asael was trying to kill me. So Yoav said to him, you should have maimed him. You had no right to kill him. So Avner said, lo yachilulei, I didn't have the ability. We were in the middle of a struggle. So then Yoav said back, what do you mean you didn't have the ability? Hashta bedofen chamishas kevnesle. You had the ability to thread your sword within the fifth rib. You couldn't have gotten down one of his limbs? Of course you could have. So what does it mean, Ledaber Ito Besheli, to speak with him in mind? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav al Iskei Shelo, on his own matters. In other words, al Iskei Shelo, on the matters of Shal Na'alecha, of taking off your foot, taking off your shoe. In other words, he asked him, show me how a woman who doesn't have hands would do chalitza. Avner bent over to demonstrate it would be done with the teeth. And at that point, that's when Yoav killed him. Vayakehu shamel achomesh. And Yoav also killed him by getting him into the fifth. And Rabbi Yochanan, Yoav was also a great swordsman. Bedofen chamishis. He got it into the fifth rib. Bakom shamara v'kaveh kluyenbo, at the spot where the liver and the spleen are connected. Vashiv Hashem estamo al rosho. Now David had commanded Shlomo, make sure to kill Yoav, so that God will return his blood back to his head as a punishment. Asher paga b'shnei anashim tzadikim v'tovim imenu. That he went and killed two people who were righteous and greater than him, namely that he killed Amasa and Avner. Tovim, why are they better? Shayudarshan achen v'rakin. They understood, as we saw with Amasa, Amasa understood that the orders of a king are not always to be fulfilled. The king says, get for me 3,000 soldiers to fight Sheva ben Bichri. But if the soldiers are learning Torah, you can't take them out to go fight. They have to continue to learn. The merit of the learning is going to help. Whereas Yoav, he didn't understand that sometimes you refuse the orders of a king that are illegitimate. When David asks Yoav to kill Uriah, because David wants to take Uriah's wife, Yoav doesn't. He should have refused it. He should have said no. Hulo darash. Yoav didn't know how to make those distinctions and say sometimes not to do what the king says. And tzaddikim, they were more righteous. Shehein bepeh. Here they were told to do things directly, and they didn't do it because they knew it was wrong. Velo asu. Vehu beigeres. And Yoav wasn't even told directly to kill Uriah. He was just given a letter to kill Uriah, and yet Asa, nevertheless, he didn't. The verse says about Amasa. Amasa lo nishma barcher v'asher biyad Yoav. Amasa did not watch himself from the sword that was in the hand of Yoav when Yoav went to kiss him and then to kill him. Amarav, Rav explained, Shelo Chashto, he didn't even suspect that Yoav would do such a thing to him. Now, when Yoav was finally killed by Shlomo, Vayikaver beveso b'midbar, the Pasuk says he was buried in his home in the desert. Asks the Gemara, atubeso midbar, who? I mean, how do you live in a desert? Was Yoav living in a desert? Was his house in the desert? So Amar Yehuda, Marav Yehuda explained the name of Rav. He was buried in his home, Kamidbar. His home was like a wilderness. Mamidbar Mufkalakol. Just like a wilderness is open to all, it's got no limitations. So to the house of Yoav, Mufkar Lakol, was open to all. Anyone was welcome. He always had lots of guests. Like a desert, just like in a desert, you don't have any theft, you don't have any marital infidelity. The house of Yoav was also clean of no theft and no marital infidelity. Yoav Yichya Yichayet Sha'ar Ha'ir. The Navi says, and Yoav would give life to the remnants of the city. Some of you, what does that mean? Afilu monini v'tzachtzanta, even, you know, delicate and very pleasurable items, ta'im paris luhu, he used to taste, whatever he would taste that was a delicacy, right away Yoav would give out to all the poor. So Yoav, as much as the Gemara is so critical of Yoav, the Gemara ends the parak by saying that Yoav also had at least tremendous generosity, in a certain way was a tzaddik, but not as great.
You have a right to kill Avner had basically maintained the strife between Shaul and David.
But this is afterwards. Avner now had done tshuva. But the Gemara earlier said that the reason why in the hands of heaven Avner died was because at the moment when Avner could have made peace, he didn't take advantage of that opportunity, and he continued the dispute. Hajin Allah Raz Hashem Yisbarach Nigmar Adin V'Hadrach Alan. Okay, now we get to start another perek. We've learned till now about how the punishment of Skila is carried out. And this perek tells us that there are really four death penalties that the court has, and it depends on the sin, right? The worse the sin, the worse the penalty. So arba misos nimsru lebezdin. There are four deaths that were given over to the court to sometimes carry out. And now we have the order based on the more severe to the lighter. Skila, the most severe is what we've been learning about till now, stoning. Then there is sreifa, pouring hot lead and thereby burning the insides of a criminal. Hereg, there is killing by sword, and chenek, there is asphyxiation, choking to death. Rabbi Shimon says the four are in a different order. Sreifa is the worst, being the hot lead being poured down. Then there's skila, then there's stoning, then there's chenek, then there's choking, and finally the least is hereg. Zu, till now, what we've discussed is mitzvah haneskalim was the mitzvah of how to stone people to death. Okay. So an argument, what is most severe? Is burning more severe than stoning? Maybe stoning is more severe than burning? And is choking more severe than killing by sword? Or is killing by sword more severe than choking? Okay. Amar Rava, Rava said, Amar Rav Schor, in the name of Rav Schor, Amar Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Huna. Kol makom sheshanu chacham derech minyan. Normally when we have a list in a Mishnah, in Mukta Mu'uchar, the list doesn't really demonstrate anything. It could be things that are really later or said earlier, things that are earlier or said later. You have a list, except for certain exceptions. However, Chutz, one exception is Shiva Samanim. The Mishnah in Masechet Nida about the seven laundry detergents, that is precise. The Mishnah there is saying that sometimes there can be a red splotch on a garment. And we don't know, is it blood from a woman, which would mean that she's Tamei, or is it some paint? So you would have to use these seven laundry detergents on it. And if the seven laundry detergents were put on it and the stain comes off, then we know that it's blood and she's Tamei. But if it doesn't come off, then it's paint, and she is tahar. So we learned in the Mishnah, Shiva Samanim Avirin Ala Kesem, you put seven spices, seven laundry detergents on a red stain that's on a garment. First, roke, tafel, spittle that has this, you know, bad taste because a person hasn't eaten anything all day. So spittle from someone who's been starving all day. Then after that, may greasin. the liquid that comes out of chewing beans, right? So there's a certain liquid out of that. And then meraglaim, after the liquid of the chewed beans, then spoiled urine. And then neser. Neser is a type of dirt which is used to clean things. And then boris. Boris is a type of soap. And then kmulya. Kmulya is another type of a detergent. I don't know. How do they translate kmulya?
Kmulya.
Okay.
They say unclear.
Yeah. Unclear. Rashi says in it shlof dutz. I don't know what that is. And then ashlag, which is...
it comes from ocean pearls.
From what?
Crevices of ocean pearls.
Right. It's also some material that comes from a crevice of an ocean pearl. And so after these seven things are put on it, the spit, the liquid from the beans, the urine, the neser, the boris, the kmulya, and the stuff that comes off of the pearls, if it comes off, then you know it is, in fact, blood, because blood will come out of these things. If it doesn't come off, then it is paint.
And they do this one after the next?
Exactly. The Katani Seifa, it says in this Mishnah there at the end, Haviran Shalokasidron, if you use these seven detergents, but in a different order. You started with the ocean pearls, and then the spit. Oshaviran Shivasan Ka. Echel, you did all seven at once. Loasav lo klom, that doesn't work. So there you see an order where it is, in fact, precise. Okay, Rav Papa Sava, the elder of Papa, said in the name of Rav, Mishmei de Rav, our Mishnah also is a precise order. Af arba misos, when we talk about the four deaths, it's a precise order that skila is the most severe. Midaka mafla grib shimon, because Rav Shimon argues, and he says, no, the order is not skila, the order is srefa. So shmamina dafka katana, you see that is a precise order. V'idach and Rava, in the name of Rav Schora, why didn't he count our Mishnah? So he'll say, we wanted to tell you Mishnayos that don't have an argument. But you're right, in this argument also the order is precise. Another case where an order is precise, Rav Papa said, Af Seder Yuma, the order of the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is precise. The time we looked in the Mishnah, Kol Ma'isa Yom Kippur Ma'amur Ma'la Seder, all the order of Yom Kippur that said in this order, Imhikta Ma'isa L'chaveru, if he would do one thing before his friend, then he didn't fulfill his obligations. He didn't do anything. Now, why didn't Rava, in the name of Rav Schora, also count this list? Hahu, so he'll tell you. Not because one is more severe than the other. That's chumra ba'alma. That's just the stringency of Yom Kippur. That you have to do things in the right way. But it's not that the order signifies this is more important, this is less important. It's just that the Yom Kippur service has to be done the right way. Okay. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said another case where he thinks the order is significant. Av Seder Tamid, the order of bringing the Karban Tamid, the Ketani Allah, it says there in Mishnah and Tamid, Zeh Seder Tamid. This is the order of the Tamid. You have to keep this order. V'idach, now why didn't Rav Papa mention that as well? Who will tell you over there, the mitzvah ba'alma. That's just saying that it's the mitzvah. You should do it in that order, but it's not absolutely a requirement to do it in that order. Says the Gemara, Lafuke, mitzvah chalitza. But the point of saying this point, that many orders in the Mishnah are not precise, is to say that when we have the order of chalitza, it's not precise, and there it can be out of order. The time we learned in the Mishnah in Yevamos, Mitzvahs Chalitza, the order of how to do Chalitza, Bahu V'Yavim to Levezdin. First, the brother-in-law and the woman come into the Bezdin. You know, Sinlo Eitzau Geneslo, Bezdin would look at him and say, listen, she's younger, you're older, it's not a good match, don't marry her. Shenamar, as it says, V'Karlo Zikne Iru V'Dibruei Lav, the elders of his city will call to him and speak to him. And that's the order of Chalitza. V'yomeres, then she says, Me'en yavmi lakim lachiv shem. My brother-in-law doesn't want to reestablish the family of his brother. V'hu omer, and he says, yes, lo chafat l'kach, I don't want to marry her. U'b'lash, nakodesh hayomer. They used to say it all in Hebrew. Then v'nikshivim to elav le'enias kenim v'chol tzanalo. Then the woman steps forward in front of him, and she takes off his shoe. V'yarka b'fanav, and she spits in his face. So, the judges have to see the spit, as it says, And then on Savamar, then she responds and says, Kachi Asela Ish, Shelo Yakim, right? This is what we've done to a man who doesn't want to establish his brother's family. V'nikrishmo b'Yisrael b'es chalutzanal. And his household will be called the household of the removed shoe. But Rav Yehuda would explain, Mitzvah Chalitza, the mitzvah of Chalitza, Korah, she reads it, the Korah, and then he says his part, he reads his part. Right? First he says, Me'en Yavmi, then he says, Lo Chafatzti, then Choletzes, then she removes the shoe, then Rokekes, then she spits, the Korah, then she again calls out, Kachi Yasela Ish. Avinamban, we asked about Rav Yehuda, Mai Kamashman, Masnisini, that's the Mishnah, that's the order. And we explained, Kamashman, the point of Rav Yehuda said, Mitzvah Hachi. It's only ideally to do so. But Yapich Leslan Ba, but if he does it in another order, let's say instead of her speaking first, he speaks first, it still would be a fine Chalitza. Tanya Miyach Yosnotina Braisa, Ben Shiktim Chalitza Lirikika, whether she does it the right way, removing the shoe and then spitting, or Rikika Lachalitza, or she spits and then removes the shoe, Masha Asa Asui. So that's what we had to have, this rule. That sometimes when you have the order in the Mishnah, it's not to be taken literally. An example of that is Chalitza. Another example, Lafuke. Also, for the following case, Meha, from the following Mishnah, Mahadatnat, Kohen Gadol, Meshamesh, Bishmona, Kalim. The Kohen Gadol does his service wearing 8 garments. Vehejot Ba'arba, a non-Kohen Gadol wears 4 garments. What are the 4 garments? Kutonet, the long like shirt, which actually went till the knees. Michnasayim, covered the whole body, the pants. Mitznefes, the hat. Va'avnet, and the belt. Most of all, and Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol adds on top that the choshen, the breastplate, the ephod, and the apron. Umeil, and the robe, and the tzitz, and the headband. V'etanim lintin abraisim, inayin shalei hedavar kodem. How do we know that there shouldn't be anything put on before the pants? Shenemar michnasei vad yuyul b'saro, that the pants have to be put on his flesh. So even though the Mishnah says kutones, the shirt, and then the michnasayim, really the order is not precise. It's actually michnasayim first. So Tana, my time akdimelu kutones. Why did the Tana first mention the long shirt? Because the Pasuk mentions it first. Ukra my time akne, why does the Pasuk mention it first? Because it covers the whole body, whereas the pants only cover the bottom part of the body. So better to talk about that part of the garment, that part of the outfit that covers the whole body. So again, in several places, in regards to the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, in regards to the order of Chalitza, the order is not precise, but in other places in the Mishnah, like our Mishnah, the Mishnah of how to, you know, check a stain, there the order is precise. The order of the Karban Tamid, the order of the of other, you know, of Pesach, there things might be, the order of the service of Yom Kippur, there the order is precise. Okay, going to the Mishnah has an argument whether stoning is worse than Sreifa. Skila Sreifa Erek Vachanek. Skila Chamura Misreifa, what's the opinion that stoning is worse than Sreifa? Ken Nitlin Magadiful Ovid Avodah Zarah. Because the worst sins, a person who worships idols or curses God, gets stoned. My chumra, why are these the worst sins? She can't push the other beikar, because these are assaults against God, who's the foundation of everything. So Gemara says, Adrab, maybe the opposite. Sreifa chamura. We should say that being burned with hot lead is the worst. She can't nitla bas kohen shezinta. Because a daughter of a kohen who is married, who has no, she gets burned. So my chumra, why is that such a terrible sin? Because she's desecrating her father's name. Because Savi Rabbanan, so the Gemara answers, the Rabbanan hold, Nesua Yotza L'Sreifa, a Bas Kohen, who is fully Nesua, fully married, it was Mezana, who's disloyal, would get Sreifa, V'lo Arusa, and not a Bas Kohen who's an Arusa, rather a Bas Kohen who is only Arusa, whose Mezana would get Skila. Like a Bas Yisrael, the fact that the Torah says the Arusa gets Skila, so that's Shema Mina, that's showing you that Skila Chamur, that Skila is worse, because if Sreifa would be worse, let her get Sreifa. The fact that she gets Skila is a sign that Skila is worse, and that's how they know That stoning is worse. Okay, we can say Kaddish Rabbanan, Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi, Omer Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Lezakus